Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Today I have the privilege of speaking to Mark Brond. He's the CEO of Redstone Connect. And Mark joined Redstone in January 2016. And since then, he and his colleagues have transformed the company and they've returned now to profitability. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon.
Now, Mark, it's the first time ShareTalk has spoken with you, so I'd be very pleased if you would just give an overview of Redstone Connect. I know that you joined January 2016. You changed, or the company changed its name from Comms PLC to Redstone to reflect a new strategy. And I just wondered if you could just give us an overview of the company to start with, please.
Yeah, certainly. I should add that I actually was involved with the company prior to me joining as CEO in January last year.
Absolutely. 10 months as a non-exec director. Yeah, absolutely. Sorry.
That's right. What we are now is we've evolved the company. We are the market leader in terms of providing IT and infrastructure solutions to smart buildings. We have three interrelated businesses. We can help buildings to become smart through designing and installing the network infrastructure. We can then service those networks for our customers, which provides us with ongoing recurring revenue. And the exciting part of our business is emerging now, which is our software development. We've developed some software that's providing a very compelling ROI for the customers that are using it. To help them make the most of their smart building. And I can take you through some more details of that as we go through this this interview.
Absolutely. I mean, I wanted to go over, obviously, the technologies and the services that you've got, and obviously the software, OneSpace, Connect Labs, et cetera, and obviously the smart buildings, which you seem to be getting a run on contracts there as well.
Yes, indeed.
So, Mark, do you want to tell me more about the OneSpace software, please, to start with?
Yeah, certainly. Basically, buildings are evolving around the way in which the workplace is evolving. Many of the people listening will be very familiar, I would like to think, with how commercial offices are changing because of mobility. The days of a person being sat at the same desk in the same building seems to have ended, and people are very mobile and transient across typically the workspace, whether they operate in a single location or quite frequently with some of the larger customers we interact with across many multiple locations. As a result, you've got two challenges that we are OneSpace actually provides a solution to. The first is people navigating their way around their workplace. If you can imagine for a minute that you're part of a large enterprise organization, you may be working in one very large open plan series of office complex, or you may be working between multiple buildings. Finding your way around those buildings, finding a place where you can sit down and work, where the systems that you're allowed to use are available, finding your colleagues, booking facilities such as meeting rooms, or finding open spaces where you can have a quiet, informal meeting is quite a challenge. And that can affect productivity and also the engagement of people in that building. What OneSpace does as a first pass is it provides the navigation tools in real time for those people that are using that building to do all the things that I've just suggested. And as a result, it allows them to engage more productively with the workspace that they're either working in day to day or they're moving from across the course of their working lives. So that engagement is really important. And as we speak to our customers, actually, it's the first thing that they want to address. They want to find a way of navigating people around their more open and mobile campuses. The second component of OneSpace is really where the ROI comes from, the return on investment. And that is that as people interact with the building and as they use the assets and facilities in a building, they leave a digital trace. And OneSpace is able to pick up that trace and identify how that building is being used by discrete individuals. This is not just about body counting. This is about understanding what people from what sorts of functions are interacting with the building in different ways. And once you can do that, what you can do is you can begin to understand actually how much space you need in a new modern environment, because it's quite different to the way in which it was before. And what we're finding is that organizations in the past set out their real estate on the basis of we have an employee and we've got to provide that employee with a desk. What we're finding now is that because of that mobility, you're getting ratios much higher than that. The ability to be able to move to as much as 1.5, 1.6 people per desk means that you can get a significant reduction in the real estate space you need in order to operate your business effectively going forward. So that's where the ROI comes from. It's by understanding how a building is now being used, reconfiguring it so it can then become much more productive. And we get there by enabling the workforce to be able to engage with the building using the navigation tools that are within OneSpace.
Yes, and I know also in April that, you know, you've caught the eye of some significant blue chip companies out there with a sense of UBM utilizing the OneSpace solution globally.
That's correct. I mean, UBM, UBS are on that same journey now, the Swiss International Bank. The fact is that there are a number of data points out there that point to this. Commercial real estate in London is very much the same as it is in New York, in Frankfurt, in Sydney, in Singapore, in Hong Kong, across the world. It's pretty much underutilized because of the phenomena I've just been talking about, this move to greater mobility in the workplace. So what you have, the metric that is often quoted by a number of experts in this area is that 50% utilization is the norm. In other words, what you have is for every desk, every meeting room, every asset in a building, they're being used in normal working hours 50% of the time or less.
Yeah.
Now, if you consider that in most commercial organizations, real estate, commercial real estate, is the second largest bill on most companies' P&L. The fact that there's a 50% wastage, or better put, 50% opportunity to reduce those costs, that's a significant and compelling opportunity for organizations to get to grips with better using their real estate. So companies like UBM, UBS, they're early adopters. They've got used to using the technology. They can see its merits, and as a result have now started to roll it out globally. And we have other customers now beginning that journey.
Excellent. It seems to be transitioning, Mark, in a sense of becoming a disruptive force in within this niche, in the sense of connected buildings and smart cities is obviously a big talking point at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's we hope very true. It's certainly our ambition to be disruptive, because the technology of the type that we've developed very much impinges on a number of different areas that today are seen as silo solutions. So for example, and this is relevant to our recent announcement about an acquisition we made recently, meeting rooms and meeting room management. Scheduling a meeting room in an enterprise environment has been around for some time, probably 15, 20 years. And the suppliers that operate in that space are typically working with software that's proprietary, i.e. not open systems. They also deliver hardware as part of a solution. Now, OneSpace is developed in the latest technology. It's open systems. It's multi-tenanted. It's available as a cloud-based solution. It can be delivered as a SaaS solution. And these are all things where large organizations are moving. They want to move non-core applications out into the cloud. They want to have open systems so that they can integrate the best-in-class technologies. So OneSpace is very much a first-to-market with an open architected platform to operate in this space. And therefore, we are not only addressing a market that is evolving with early adopters, as I just suggested, we're beginning to now address what are in the past have been point solutions in the market, because OneSpace provides that level of scheduling and management of a meeting room space as well.
Absolutely. And then you've got your events and venues in a sense of Connect Labs, which takes it onto a more far global scale in the sense of connecting the world, as you say.
Well, that's true. And I want to be keen to point out that whilst we have huge ambitions, we're also a modest sized company. We're one of the biggest in the UK, and we're beginning to find a way globally. And some of our solutions, some of our software already sits in areas of the United States and in Asia and in Europe. I think for us to be ultimately successful, we have to dominate in one area. And for us at the moment, the strategy is very much the commercial real estate space. We see that as being the greatest opportunity because of the data points I mentioned earlier, the sort of 50% of office space being underutilized. But I would point out that the work we're doing in smart cities, smart stadia, and in retail, that's given us two advantages. The first one is that we have spent 12 years operating in that space and have a market-leading technology that forms the backbone of everything we do. The Connect platform is very much the backbone of everything, including OneSpace. OneSpace sits as a module on top of this Connect platform. So it's highly engineered. It's been engineered over the last 12 years. It's today sat in the latest technology platform, all created in React JV. As a result, what we have is the ability to take our influence across and out of a commercial building, onto the streets, into a smart city, and into other areas. But I want to say, from an investment point of view, our focus is very much on the commercial real estate space. You will see us winning new contracts in smart cities, like we have done with Milton Keynes. You'll see us winning contracts in retail environments, large shopping malls and the like, because our technology is truly best in class there. But where you will see the advances for the company in terms of winning market share and driving a compelling and unique solution will be in the commercial real estate space.
Yeah, and that's borne out, Mark, in your recent final year results, where you had a huge turnaround and return to profitability. Could you just go over some of the key initiatives that drove that growth and drove that profitability, please?
Yeah, I think the first thing to say, that software had an impact, but actually wasn't the major impact. And the reason I say that is we spent the last year following the acquisition of Connect IB, which provide us with that platform. We spent that year last year focused largely inwardly in terms of developing what was a fairly fledgling application in OneSpace into the world-class product that it is today. So last year was very much about inward focus, developing a software platform. And although we had a very margin-rich software revenue stream, it was still relatively modest last year as a contributor. But it did help us improve our overall margins and margin mix. I think the other point to be made is that the other two areas of our business is managed services, which represents about 56% of our recurring gross profit. Managed services performed better than the year prior in terms of improving its gross margins. And our systems integration business, which is our projects business, also improved its margins. And the reason that this happened is twofold. One is that we focused on where we have a compelling proposition and where we know we can win. We're a very unique proposition to the market in that nobody else covers smart buildings with the same level of breadth of network integrations and solutions as we do. And therefore, the more complex, the larger the job, the more likely that Redstone Connect is going to win. And therefore, we've very much focused on the discipline of qualifying every opportunity and only working on situations where the customer truly wanted a smart building and they wanted the level of competence that that Redstone Connect can deliver. As a result, we were providing much more higher tech solutions, which carry a higher margin, and therefore we improved the margins across the business by just shy of 500 basis points, I think 490 basis point improvement. And it's those two things combined. It's the adding software into the mix, which is still relatively fledgling. So watch this space. This is where we can see the excitement of the future. And secondly, being very much more disciplined with the project and managed services business so that they're delivering quality and higher margin for us. And I've always believed that margin is delivered because you deliver value to the customer. And therefore, what we've done is we've moved away from the sort of commoditized end of that marketplace, much more into the margin-rich end. And I'll give you one example of that in projects, which is in-building cellular. In-building cellular is becoming an important feature. With the mobility that we talked about earlier on in the call, comes the need to use mobile devices. And Wi-Fi is not always relevant. It's not always the best thing to use. You need to use a combination of technologies, and cellular is an important one. However, cellular doesn't work very well behind concrete and steel. So therefore, you need to provide a system in big buildings to enable your cellular phone to work. Now, in the past, the mobile network operators have been providing some of those solutions, but they've always been single MNO or mobile network operator based. So in other words, if you went to Vodafone in the past and you installed their in-building cellular solution, it would work with Vodafone. It wouldn't work with the other network operators. Now, of course, organizations are moving to bring your own device. They're moving away from, providing technology, mobile technology to their workforce. Therefore, they want in-building cellular to work across multiple networks. And this is where Redstone Connect have come in. Back in October 2015, we made an investment in the skills and resources to operate in the space, seeing this market about to evolve. And as a result, last year, there were two very large in-building cellular installations completed or sold and completed in London, one for about 1 million square feet of offices and the other for a large campus. Now, we at Redstone Connect sold both of those and installed both of those. Nobody else has got anywhere close to doing that level of complexity of project for customers. And we're now seen as the number one player in terms of that large scale enterprise in building cellular space in the UK. Now, that comes with a premium in terms of margin because it's innovative technology. It requires a lot of skill and resource. Therefore, the barriers to entry are quite high. And we're delivering, exceptional value to our customers. So that kind of innovation and technology has allowed us to lift our margins further. Net result is higher margins, better controlled costs. We end up with a profit rather than a loss.
Yeah, and that was very clear. The final profits there was 2.1 million versus a loss of 2.2, Mark. And then what you subsequently did was rolled straight over to purchase Anders and Kern, which again gave you some additional blue chip clients there when you raised, was it 6.5 million? So it's clear that you're on a roll here.
Yeah, I think what's important about the Anders and Kern acquisition is it's part of a strategy. That strategy goes back to OneSpace. Now, OneSpace is evolving very quickly with customers, but it is a long sales cycle. The customers that we're targeting are the large enterprises. We're looking for global solutions, and we're getting there, but it's a journey we're on. What we want to do is also provide a shorter sales cycle opportunity. And today, OneSpace provides meeting room management software. However, if we were to go into a point sale competition with the best in that space, we'd probably lose because of some functional differences. So we're going to do three things. The first thing is that we are going to develop OneSpace so that the module that handles meeting room management becomes best in class. And because we're building off of something that already exists, that's not going to take us very long and not going to cost us very much. But we've got a very clear understanding of what best in class looks like. And we're working with some customers, global customers, to help us get there. And we aim to get there this year with development. So part of the funds we raised was to enhance our product so that we could go into a point solution sale when a customer only wants meeting room management and win. The second component of that, and I should add, by the way, why do we want to win in that environment? Because we see it as a Trojan horse to getting into the enterprise for the more global OneSpace solution. The second component of this is we've got to get a channel to market. We've got some expertise, but not enough. We want to get there quicker. And therefore, we've bought the UK's leading meeting room management and collaborative working specialist, A&K. They're a systems integrator. They're selling other people's software and other people's hardware, bringing it together for a solution to the customer. And they've got some great customers, as you've seen from the announcement, like BBC, Worldwide, Teleoil, etc. So we've acquired them to help us take our product to market. And then the third component is we're going to ramp up the speed with which we do that by investing in additional sales and marketing resource.
Yeah, I mean, that's excellent, Mark. I mean, I'm looking at the announcement there, and already you've announced the Milton Keynes contract win, which clearly is showing that things are moving on very, very quickly. When do you think that the A&K acquisition will be complete, Mark?
It was completed 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, right, sorry.
Yeah, it's all complete. And one thing we have demonstrated when we've made these acquisitions, this is our third so far, is that we integrate them really quickly. This is not about synergies. This is about bolting in some capability that we don't have so that together we can move forward quicker. So actually, the integration is happening really, really quickly. We've moved our software salespeople under the managing director of A&K, Stephen Black. They've now joined a broader team that operate across the meeting room management and collaborative working space. We're re-energizing our marketing to support that initiative. So it's starting to move really quickly.
Yeah, and what I was wanting to point out to people listening to this interview also is that you've got some significant shareholders in the sense of Elium Special, Henderson Global, and also recently I've noticed that Hargreave Hale have increased their holdings to 9.3%. So you're attracting fund managers that want to follow you along this journey.
Well, I hope so. obviously, you can never be complacent. And obviously, institutions always have an environment in which they've got to meet their own contributors' goals. So it's always a difficult and challenging environment, but we are very transparent as an organization in terms of what we're doing. And we spend an awful lot of time sharing the publicly available information with institutions that are both shareholders and those that may be in the future. So we've been doing that for well over a year and a half. So some of these companies or some of these institutions are coming on board, having seen us for the second, third, and in some cases, the fourth time. And that's just the journey that you have to go on. And we're delighted to have the support of the institutions that we have.
Absolutely. Now, Mark, I've covered all my questions. I didn't know if there's anything else you want me to wrap up with as to why and why investors and potential shareholders should continue following you and invest with Redstone Connects going forward.
Well, obviously, it's against the rules for me to say that people should invest. But look, we're very transparent where we are, where we've come from, and where we're going. And I think the key thing here is that we've got a unique proposition with a very, very strong brand name and a tremendous stable of customers, some of whom we're not allowed to make public. But you can guess who they are when we talk about their descriptions. You know, some of the largest oil companies, some of the largest banking and financial institutions in the world, and so on and so forth. So we've got great foundations. I think the key now is us to continue to execute on what our stated strategy was a year ago, and that was that we were going to change the financial model of the business so that it would become more investable. We are focusing on higher value, higher margin business, and in particular business that attracts a premium, and in particular that will generate recurring revenue. We want to provide our investors with the security of recurring revenue and recurring income and the longer term visibility in terms of the performance of the company. And the final piece is IP. IP is so important. We've taken a company that virtually had no IP and we've now got, stacks of it. And really the job now is to take that foundation block and grow it. And people can see for themselves that if you just project out, you know, stronger margins coming from IP that we own in software related services that is in a market that is growing, and not just here, but globally, then as long as we execute effectively, and that'll take a bit of time, then I think that, you know, we have a very, very attractive proposition to our investors.
Absolutely, Mark. I think you've covered all the salient points there. That was Share Talk interviewing Mark Brond, CEO of Redstone, ticker symbol REDS, Reds on AIM. Mark, thank you ever so much for speaking with Share Talk today, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon.
That's my pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mark. Take care. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.